Radio Prague News.
Andrej Babiš has discussed migration with his Italian counterpart. President Zeman has pardoned a man with a serious disease. And the Christian Democrats have pledged to fight for the survival of the Senate. The Czech Prime Minister Andrej Babiš held talks with his Italian counterpart Giuseppe Conte in Rome on Tuesday. The pair discussed the protection of the EU's external borders, cooperation with third countries and migrant return policies, the Czech office of the government said. Mr. Babiš and his host also spoke about the EU's relations with Russia and the US, as well as bilateral cooperation. In July, the Czech leader agreed to visit Rome after Mr. Conte sent an open letter in response to Mr. Babiš's refusal of an Italian request to take in 450 migrants. President Miloš Zeman has pardoned a man imprisoned for bribe-taking, his spokesman Jiří Ovčáček said on Tuesday. The man was also found guilty of abuse of power and obstructing the execution of an official decision. He has been suffering from an oncological disease for some years and had no previous criminal record, Mr. Ovčáček said. The police have begun investigating claims by the ex-wife of former Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek that he illegally acquired millions of crowns while he was the leader of the Social Democrats, iRozhlas.cz reported, citing a state attorney. Petra Paroubková made the allegations in an interview last week. The pair are currently divorcing. Mr. Paroubek says his ex-partner is attempting to scupper his chances in Senate elections in October, when he'll be standing as an independent. Average earnings in the public sector have been rising more quickly than in the private sector in the Czech Republic. That's according to official figures quoted by the Czech news agency. Wages rose by an average of 8.4% among public sector employees in 2017, compared to an average rise of 6.8% for those working in the private sphere. Public sector staff took home an average of just under 32,000 crowns a month last year. That was around 1,000 crowns more than those in the private sector. The leader of the opposition Christian Democrats, who's himself standing for the upper chamber later this year, says his party will fight for the Senate's continued existence. Pavel Bielobrádek said opponents of the upper house of parliament were out to destroy democracy, didn't wish to hear conflicting points of view, and had a tendency to regard the Czech Republic as a conquered land. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has described the Senate as a talking shop, and his ANO party have proposed its abolition. The upper chamber came into existence in 1996. The Czech football manager Karel Jarolím has called up one previously untried player, midfielder Ondřej Petrák of Nuremberg, for his squad for a pair of upcoming internationals. The Czechs will take on Ukraine in a Nations League game next Thursday and will take on then Russia the following Monday in a friendly match. The weather forecast, it should be sunny in the Czech Republic on Wednesday with temperatures of up to 27 degrees Celsius. The remainder of the week is expected to see rain and daytime highs in the low 20s Celsius. My name is Ian Willoughby and that is the end of the news. Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, the Czech Prime Minister offers to put forward an action plan to halt illegal migration into the whole of the European Union. Demonstrators outside Prague's Russian embassy call for the release of filmmaker Oleg Sentsov. And we speak to Do Thu Trang, a young Vietnamese blogger exploring the interaction between her community and Czechs. Prime Minister Andrej Babiš has said that to bring a halt to illegal migration, a comprehensive action plan for the entire EU is needed, and the Czech Republic is ready to prepare just such a proposal. He has even floated the idea of the protection of EU borders being transferred to the NATO level. Brian Kennedy has more.
Mr. Babiš left Tuesday morning for an official visit to Italy at the invitation of his Italian counterpart, Giuseppe Conte, which was extended in July after the Czech Prime Minister rejected Rome's request for help in settling some 450 migrants rescued from a Mediterranean fishing boat. In Mr. Babish's view, those people were economic migrants engaged in asylum shopping, which is to say, not seeking the first safe harbor from a conflict, but a better life in the most prosperous EU country that will have them. And the bloc must send a clear message that illegal immigration won't be tolerated.
I'm convinced Europe must have a plan to resolve the migration question in a comprehensive way. We've lost 4 years foolishly debating quotas. In short, the message being sent is that Europe is open and that we have to care for everyone who comes illegally and will disperse them amongst us.
Plans to reform the so-called Dublin regulation on responsibility for asylum seekers are pitting Italy and other Mediterranean states, which want to disperse migrant arrivals around the EU, against inland states such as the Czech Republic, which are rejecting mandatory quotas. Mr. Babish, who will also visit Malta to discuss immigration, says he does not expect concrete results from Tuesday's meeting, but he does want to know firsthand the views of countries on the front lines, as he puts it. In particular, he wants to know if Mr. Conte also believes that Frontex, the EU agency charged with protecting the bloc's borders, needs to have significantly expanded powers and personnel, and in that regard, have its current annual budget trebled to some 10 billion euros. Mr. Babish said that a comprehensive EU plan must be drafted and that his own government is ready to do this, but agreement within the bloc itself is only the first step.
We must then negotiate with Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, Libya, and Egypt about them stopping migration at their southern borders. Then we need a comprehensive plan for Africa, for the individual countries from where these migrants are coming. They are economic migrants, not people fleeing war.
Mr. Babish has also floated the idea of protection of EU borders being transferred to the NATO level. Regardless the chosen path, he said, until a solution is found, his government will not agree to take in a single illegal migrant. And frontline countries such as Italy, Malta, Spain, and Greece should do the same.
That report was by Brian Kennedy. Dozens of people gathered outside the Russian embassy in Prague on Tuesday to demand the release of jailed Ukrainian filmmaker Oleg Sentsov and other prisoners of conscience. The gathering lasted exactly 107 minutes, symbolizing the 107 days that Sentsov has been on a hunger strike in a prison in Siberia. Daniela Lazareva reports.
Ukrainian filmmaker Oleg Sentsov, who was involved in supporting the Maidan protests in Kiev and who publicly opposed Russia's annexation of Crimea, was arrested by Russian police in May of 2014. A year later, following what Amnesty International described as an unfair trial in a military court, Oleg Sentsov was sentenced to 20 years in jail. He says the evidence against him was fabricated and has been on a hunger strike for over 3 months now, calling not only for his own release, but the release of another 64 fellow Ukrainians who he considers prisoners of conscience. His deteriorating health has raised concern for his fate and that of other political prisoners held in Russia the world over. Members of the art and film world have been particularly active in drawing attention to his plight. On the 100th day of Sentsov's hunger strike, Czech filmmakers launched a chain hunger strike in support of his release. Originally, it was to have been a week-long protest by film director Radim Špaček and six other colleagues from the film world, but more and more people have asked to join in the fast. Czech filmmaker Radim Špaček says Sentsov's state of health gives reason for extreme concern.
There have been proclamations and calls for Sentsov release all over Europe, from film director Agnieszka Holland and many other renowned directors, actors and producers, all to no avail. So this is a last-ditch attempt to draw attention to Sentsov's plight.
Radim
Špaček is calling on Czech politicians, particularly on President Miloš Zeman, to use what influence they have to try to secure Sentsov's release before it is too late. Moral support has come from many sides. The Czech NGO People in Need recently launched a campaign in support of the Ukrainian filmmaker, asking people to take a picture of themselves and add the hashtag Oleg in Need, which they sent to Sentsov's jailhouse in Siberia. Earlier this year, the Karlovy Vary International Film Festival also called attention to his plight with a huge photo of Sentsov prominently placed where international stars and visitors to the festival could see it. Hundreds signed a petition for his release titled Do Not Let Sentsov Die, which was later handed over to the Russian embassy. The Czech Film Academy has called on the Czech foreign and culture ministers to use all available diplomatic channels to try to help Sentsov. Tuesday's gathering outside the Russian embassy in Prague, at which around 60 demonstrators stood in a silent protest holding up Sentsov's photo, took place before midday and was timed to end precisely at 5 minutes to 12, a time symbolizing the growing urgency of the case.
Thank you for that report, Daniela Lazareva. Now in the final part of our program today, Ruth Frankova speaks to Vietnamese blogger Do Tu Trang.
Why do Czech men want to date Vietnamese girls? What do Czechs hate about the Vietnamese? And what to expect at a Vietnamese wedding? This and many more questions are the subject of a blog called Asiatka, which offers sharp as well as light-hearted observations on the coexistence of the Czech and Vietnamese communities. Written by a young Vietnamese Do Tu Trang, the blog recently received an award for journalists under 33 years of age, as well as a nomination for the Magnesia Litera Award for Best Blog. I met with Do Tu Trang to talk about her blog and her experiences of growing up as a Vietnamese girl in the Czech Republic, but we first spoke about her family, which moved to the country in the early 1990s when she was just 4 years old.
It was the time when a lot of Vietnamese people moved to Czechoslovakia because of business. My dad used to work at the market, as most of the Vietnamese people did, and that's why he earned some money so that my mom and me could move in.
But as far as I know, you actually grew up with a Czech family while your father and mother were working.
Yeah, exactly. It was kind of usual because my parents worked from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. and they didn't have time for me, and they wanted me to have a better education and to learn Czech. And that's why I grew up in the Czech family. I lived in the Czech family for 7 years, and it was a very nice time when I had a very nice Czech childhood. But on the other hand, my parents didn't expect me to forget my Vietnamese roots that quickly.
But you did.
Yeah. Language-wise, definitely, because I learned Czech quite quickly because there were no Vietnamese friends around. And I didn't see my parents that much during weekends only. So most of the time I used to speak Czech. So it was quite easy to forget as a child. You forget the language quickly if you don't use it, right?
But otherwise, or nowadays, do you feel more Vietnamese or more Czech?
I do feel more Czech, but at the same time, I feel that I have strong Vietnamese roots, thanks to my parents. Even though they didn't spend that much time with me when I was growing up, I feel like what they put in me when I was a child, it is really deep inside.
What was the trigger for you to start your blog called Asiatka?
It was 2008 when I started writing this blog, and it was the time when a lot of Vietnamese youngsters and people from my generation kind of started presenting the Vietnamese community, because it was the time when Vietnamese minority didn't did have some problems with the Czech majority. A lot of Vietnamese people lost their jobs in 2009 due to the crisis, right, economical crisis. And there was kind of tensions between the nationalities, and a lot of people of my age, Vietnamese people, they started the blogs to open the Vietnamese community, because Vietnamese community a few years ago was really closed. There were a lot of myths about our community. And in 2008, I started this blog to join the conversation as well. And since I was a child, I always liked writing in Czech, and I love Czech. And I also like commenting about the situations that happened to me and still are happening to me as a Vietnamese girl growing up or living in the Czech Republic. I like the differences between our nationalities, and that's what was the main trigger.
Who are actually your followers? Do you get lots of feedback from your followers?
I do, but most of them, like 90% of them, are Czech. It's kind of a positive feedback, I would say, which is great to hear that people are interested in Vietnamese culture, even though it's just a small, tiny piece of what a Vietnamese culture offers, right? But most of my followers or readers are people in their 20s and 30s who are mostly interested in Vietnamese food. They have a lot of friends, Vietnamese friends, or they travel to Vietnam, or they just are interested who the people in Večerkas are.
What is the reaction of the Vietnamese community? Because I believe in Vietnamese culture, children are brought up to respect older people, and here you are making fun of Vietnamese in your blog. How do they take it? What's their reaction?
I don't get that much feedback from the older generation, but when I talk to people who are my age, they usually laugh at it as well. But most of the posts are based on what I hear, right? So Vietnamese people, the younger generation, would usually make fun of themselves. So it's kind of based on what I hear from them as well. And concerning my Czech friends, they are exactly the people that make even more fun of Vietnamese people than I do, because that's what our friends for, right? They're making fun of everything that you do. I would appreciate more feedback from Vietnamese people, because even though the posts are dedicated for the Czech people, I would also appreciate that Vietnamese people would discuss about the differences more. And the main aim of this blog is that people should not take themselves that seriously, right? So this is what I would appreciate, that Vietnamese people would add something more to the dialogue between our nationalities.
You often mention your own parents. Do they follow your blog?
Well, my mom doesn't speak Czech that well, and the blog is written in Czech. But my dad, from time to time, he would read some posts, and he doesn't comment. He knows that I know that he reads, and he's kind of a dad that sits somewhere in the corner and watches what's happening. He won't ever comment. He usually says, does someone read this, or are the people really interested in a blog like this? And this is the moment when I know that he reads it, but he won't ever support me.
But at the same time, they never tried to discourage you from writing.
No, even though my mom is kind of afraid that I'm too open, she doesn't want me to write about everything that's going on around me or around our family, which is kind of legitimate.
The motto of your blog is never miss a chance to dance. Does that summarize your approach to life?
Yeah. That's exactly what my life is about, because missing a chance means that you're not having fun in your life. And also, a lot of people need to get drunk so that they start dancing, which I think is kind of, it's not healthy for the dance, because dancing means you're not taking yourself that seriously. So having fun and not taking yourself that seriously is exactly what I am aiming in my life.
You said that one of the triggers why you started with blogging was to open up the Vietnamese community. Do you think you have succeeded, and how has the situation changed since then?
The situation has changed, I think, significantly. Also thanks to Vietnamese food, because there are a lot of Vietnamese restaurants, like original Vietnamese restaurants. And I like the saying that love goes through stomach. Yeah, exactly. And Vietnamese community has opened up towards the Czech society, I would say, a lot. And also the younger generation is more integrated, and we have a lot of Czech friends, and most of my Czech friends are interested in Vietnamese culture. So it's not just like Vietnamese community would open up towards the Czech society, but it's also vice versa. The Czech people are more interested in traveling to Vietnam, eating out in Vietnamese restaurants. And also they see that Vietnamese people are people who are integrated, that we have a lot of Vietnamese concerts here. We like to eat out together. So this might be an interesting fact for Czech people, so that they are more attracted to understand us, the Vietnamese community.
Aren't you worried that your generation has integrated to a point where you are actually losing touch with your Vietnamese identity?
I'm not saying I'm afraid, because it's something natural that happens when you have a second generation growing up in other country. For example, in Germany, people my generation are even more integrated, and most of them have German nationality. And this is the process that has started in the Czech Republic just a few years ago, so it takes some time. And I'm definitely not afraid of that, because those who really want to keep their Vietnamese roots and who want to stay in touch with Vietnam and Vietnamese culture, they definitely always will be, because also thanks to the supermarket, we can stay in touch with the real Vietnam.
How important was it for you to receive the Novinárska Křepelka Award, an award for young journalists under the age of 33?
I was about to reject the award before announcing, because I don't feel being a journalist, right? But my kind of a mentor said that it's not about journalism, it's about bringing new topics and new ideas, which my blog does, he said. So looking at the list of the nominees, it's kind of a big deal, because the people are real big name journalists, and the blog was and still is just for fun. And I am surprised that people take it that seriously, which is, by the way, what I don't want to, that people take my blog and take everything seriously.
And your blog was also nominated for the Magnesia Litera Award, wasn't it?
It was a big deal to me, because I didn't expect it to happen that quickly, even though it was kind of a secret dream. I didn't tell anyone that I would like to win Magnesia Litera one day, but it was a big deal, because it showed me that even writing short micro stories is interesting to the people, and that I should continue and pursue this, even though it takes a lot of time. Because even writing short stories means that you have to really elaborate it. And I like playing with Czech words. So from time to time, it takes me 2 to 3 hours to get a blog post done.
Where do you see your future? Is it going to be here in the Czech Republic?
I don't predict my future that much, but I like living in the Czech Republic. So short time, definitely, yes. I'm about to stay here and work as a community manager. And I would like to continue writing the blog. So my plans are kind of clear.
That was Vietnamese blogger Do Thu Trang, and she spoke to Ruth Frankova in September of 2016. That's all we have time for right now on Radio Prague. You can, of course, contact us by email at english@radio.cz. And you can find us on Twitter and on Facebook. But for now, from me, Ian Willoughby, thanks for listening, folks, and do join us again soon.